This is Susie Thorpe
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
In the studio right now, absolutely honoured to have Dr. Gillian Sutherland. She is historian and fellow of Newnham College, Cambridge. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you here. Now, we're talking in particular about Millicent Garrett Fawcett because she is going to have a statue in memory of her at Parliament Square. We thought it would be April, but we're not absolutely sure, are we not?
Well, that's the last intelligence was that it would be April, but we don't have a date in April, and we don't know who's doing the or at least I don't know who's doing the unveiling. Maybe there are people in the Mayor of London's office who know.
They know more than us. I'm sure that's not the case, but I'm sure it happens soon. But I'd like to ask you, Dr. Gillian Sutherland, why have they picked suffragist Millicent Garrett Fawcett to have her statue put in Parliament Square?
Well, she was president of the National Union of Women Suffrage Societies, who described themselves as constitutionalist rather than non-violent, and campaigned for the vote. Millicent herself campaigned from 1866 until the securing of the first vote for some women in 1918. That's 52 years, which is pretty tough going. She wasn't president of the NUWSS for the whole time. She became president in 1907. But she was one of the key generals in the campaign, and the NUWSS was a huge organisation. It was actually much bigger than the WSPU, the Pankhursts' organisation, which took to militancy and a degree of violence.
There is a question where people don't like to differentiate, do they, between suffragettes and suffragists, because they were on the same page. They were actually very good friends, weren't they?
Well, it's slightly more complicated than that, because at the point at which the suffragettes, the WSPU, took to the kind of violence which had very little regard for persons, never mind property, the NUWSS was keen to draw the division. And certainly their own campaigners got very fed up in the years immediately before the First World War, having their meetings broken up because they were thought to be suffragettes and not suffragists.
Oh, so there was a gap.
There was a gap, but certainly even at the worst point, polite relations were maintained. And indeed in 1928, Millicent and Emmeline Pankhurst shared a platform in the push for votes for all women, which came later that year.
Now, obviously there is a huge link to Newnham College. Can you just explain a little bit about the Fawcett family, how it all came about, really?
Millicent, who was born in 1847, was married at the age of 19 to Henry Fawcett, who was simultaneously a politician. He was at that point MP for Brighton, but also professor of political economy in the University of Cambridge. And so they divided their time between Cambridge and London. And they were immediately drawn into the plans for lectures for ladies in Cambridge. Millicent was an enthusiast, and indeed I think the very first meeting was held in her drawing room. And she and Anna Bateson, the wife of the Master of St. John's, alternated in entertaining this committee as it put its plans together. The committee morphed into a limited not-for-profit company, the Newnham Hall Company, once they started to build, constituted finally in 1881. The plans had begun at the end of 1869. And Millicent was a council member of the Newnham Hall Company from 1881 until 1909.
And from a point of view of women in Cambridge University getting a degree or getting some recognition for their work, that came about after the Second World War, didn't it?
Yes, not until then. Yes. Cambridge is the last university in the UK to give women full membership.
Right. I didn't know that, actually. That's a shocker. But yes, at least it happened. So the National Union of Women Suffrage Society, they were more focused on the domestic equality, didn't they? They wanted to uphold women in work, and they wanted to make sure they had, they're empowered a bit more. Is that?
Yes, and to build on the work that women were already doing in local government, where some women did have votes and were also able to stand for elected office in local government.
Mm. And you say Henry Fawcett was quite a supporter. Were there many men supporters at the time?
Yes, there's Henry Fawcett, Millicent's husband, who died untimely in 1884, but also Henry Sidgwick, the philosopher, who was another key member of this committee, and he subsequently became very heavily involved with Newnham. He met his wife when she came to teach mathematics at Newnham. Nora Balfour, and at one point the two of them actually lived in college.
And we were saying that during the war that they were concentrating on making, because more women during the First World War were in work because they were taking over the men's jobs, whether men's were work fighting abroad. And that, I think, I always thought that was part of the concerns of the National Union of Women's Suffrage. They wanted to make sure that the women who were working were getting enough support.
The NUWSS organisation, which was huge and very well funded, turned its war work became supporting women in the war effort, which included supporting women workers, war widows. They were very active in trying to see that the conditions for women in the munitions factories were decent and giving them every support that they could.
Mm. And your interest, Dr. Gillian Sutherland, what's you're obviously from Newnham College. Is this something that is very, very close to your heart, the history of?
Well, a lot of my work has been on education, and so that gets me interested in women's education and the transformation of provision for formal education for women, the creation of a higher education sector for women.
And the current students now and yesterday, a few years from post-war, have they continued to be amazed and struck by the work that was done by the suffragettes and the suffragists?
I think there's huge interest at the moment, and what is enormously cheering is to find current undergraduates very greedy for more information about their inheritance, if you like.
Mm.
There have been patches when they have been less interested, I think, but currently there is a great hunger to know more.
The activism today, do you think that Pankhurst and Fawcett, do you think they would be completely struck by the horror of the Me Too and the Time's Up activism now? Do you think they will be still thinking, we've still got human trafficking, we've still got social media abuse? Do you think they would be absolutely aghast at what's going on now?
Yes, and indeed this was one of the strands of Millicent's own campaigns. Through that period, the campaign against human trafficking, child prostitution, has a very long history, and Millicent is there certainly from the beginning of the 1880s onwards.
Mm. Who do you think her role model was in the year? Was it be her mother or her family? Her cousin Philippa Fawcett was also.
No, Philippa was her daughter.
Ah, sorry, that's right.
Philippa was Millicent's only daughter and the first woman to top the mathematics tripos in Cambridge.
Absolutely.
Something which some men thought no women could achieve.
Now, we were talking about the statue earlier because Caroline Criado Perez, she was one of the instigators in getting the statue to be put up in Parliament Square. She also, I think, tried to, as continuing, I think, to get Pankhurst. I know Pankhurst has got quite a few statues dotted around.
Yes, there's one on the embankment. There's one, I think, just been unveiled in Manchester. And there is currently a proposal to put another one of Emmeline somewhere in London. What I would like to see is a statue to Sylvia Pankhurst.
Ah, okay.
The daughter who was extremely interested in the position of women workers, who broke away to a considerable extent from the WSPU's main campaign, worked with women in the East End.
I think it's July this year that it will commemorate the 90th anniversary of all women getting the vote in 1928.
That's right. The 2nd of July is the anniversary, the 90th anniversary of the Royal Assent, and I gather that there will be another parliamentary party that day.
Well, we're hoping that the statue will be in situ before that arrives. Dr. Gillian Southern, it's been fantastic to have you here and talking to you about the women's movement. Of course, it's 100 years since it all took place, and we've got a lot of events going on. And my daughter actually asked this question. I don't know if I'll ask you as well. She said, why was everything talked about in 1914 when 1918 is quite an important part because it's the end of the First World War? She felt there was so much going on that actually we didn't leave enough for this year.
I think that's a very fair comment. There was almost overkill initially, which has detracted from awareness that of just how dreadful and how long drawn out the conflict was and what the state of play was in 1918. It was very fraught right up until that November.
Yeah.
Armistice.
Well, Dr. Gillian Southern, it's been fantastic to talk to you today. It's always a fascinating subject. It shouldn't just be fascinating. It's part of history, and we should be celebrating it every year of what happened in around the early 20th century. But thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's now the travel news now.